Have you ever felt like there's an invisible force working against you, making your life more challenging than it should be? What if I told you that this force has a name and a clear agenda? In this video, we delve deep into the reality of the devil, exploring his influence in our lives and how we can recognize and combat his schemes with the wisdom and strength found in the Bible. The devil is not a force, a concept, or an abstract drawing. He is a living being. He receives personal names and titles and is attributed with personal acts and attributes. This is mentioned in the Bible. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him. Revelation 20, 2-3. How you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the realm of the dead, to the depths of the pit, Isaiah 14, 12-15. In Matthew 4, 1-11, we see how Jesus dealt with the devil as a person and fought a battle against him as against a person. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. Paul in his epistles also described the believer's battle against Satan as against a real person. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, Ephesians 6, 10-12. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Ephesians 6, 13-18. I strongly feel that the devil is making his final attempt to capture the planet. Satan, the enemy, is essential for us to know who our adversary is. The Bible makes this very clear in 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The devil is your adversary. This reality is difficult for many people to accept. The point is that the devil will do everything he can to prevent you from seeing him as your adversary, because he knows that if you do, the war is almost won. Some people are even deceived into believing that God is the cause of their problems and misfortunes. If you are born again, God is your Father, and his thoughts toward you are thoughts of good, never of evil. Jeremiah 29:11. Satan is specifically mentioned over 200 times in the Bible. In Genesis 3, Satan makes his incursion into human affairs. In Job 1, he is a tyrant oppressing the righteous. In Matthew 4, Satan tempts Jesus with audacity. In Revelation 20, he is identified as being bound. In Ezekiel, we have the complete account of the devil's fall, works, and destiny. The description in Ezekiel can only be attributed to a superior being. The prophet Isaiah describes the devil's actions and his fall from a place of honor and glory as one of the archangels. The Apostle John goes into more detail about Satan's fall in Revelation 12. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Revelation 12:7-9. Rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them, but woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short. Revelation 12:12. Satan aspired to be equal to God, not content to be a beautiful and intelligent creature of God's creation and the highest of the angels. This conflict lasted for millennia and will not be fully resolved until Satan is thrown into the lake of fire for all eternity. Satan is still a dignitary. When the Archangel Michael, an angel with enormous strength and position in heaven, contended about the body of Moses, we read in Jude 1:9 that he did not dare to pronounce a blasphemous judgment against Satan, even in his fallen state. The devil is one of God's wisest and most perceptive characters. The devil is a tempter. According to the New Testament, the devil has the power to offer kingdoms, dominion, and even dictatorship to those who bow down to him and obey him. In Luke 4:3-8, Satan offered Jesus dominion over all the nations and their wealth, if he would only bow down and worship him. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Something truly remarkable to me is that when Jesus said all the nations were his, and that he would give the authority and influence of those nations to whomever he wished, he did not consider the devil a liar. Only when we know this truth will we be able to understand and deal with world events in these last days. This biblical passage clearly shows that the devil has the ability to rule human society in certain areas. Satan was beautiful. He was the most beautiful creature of all. His appearance was covered with gold and the most precious stones. Ezekiel wrote that he was perfect in beauty. The power of Satan, the names, powers, and sphere of power of the devil are well defined in Ezekiel 28:14. He is referred to as the anointed cherub who covers. "You were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones." Ezekiel 28:14. In the Old Covenant, cherubim guarded the most sacred place of worship, the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, which was the emblem of Israel's most sacred devotion to Jehovah, with two golden cherubim with wings. The anointed cherub was associated with God's holiness. From angel to devil, Satan fell first because of his pride. We see this in Ezekiel 28:17. "Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings." His spiritual service to Jehovah was supplanted by his greed. He was said to have a multitude of iniquities that made him violent, perhaps a reference to his desire to obtain all things, without regard for whom he hurt in his pursuit. Since then, these two elements, pride and greed, have been powerful instruments to draw man into sin. How many of us sin because we are fascinated with our possessions and our physical beauty? How quickly can this produce iniquity in our sinful flesh? If it can produce iniquity in the cherub, in that evil we call the devil. We are all under a dark domination. It is by Satan, the prince. Of this world, the number one enemy, the location of hell. Many other hypotheses about the exact location of hell have been proposed. There is a common belief that hell can be found in the center of the earth. In the Old Testament, the word translated as hell is Sheol. In the New Testament, the word translated as hell is Hades, which means unseen, or Gehenna, which means Valley of Hinnom. The Hebrew word Sheol can be translated as pit or grave. Sheol and Hades are two names for the same place, which is where the dead go before they are judged. Gehenna refers to an eternal state of punishment for the wicked dead. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God, Psalm 9:17. Where can we find hell? Even though certain verses describe hell or the region of judgment as being down or below the earth, hell is a location that exists beyond our physical universe, where the souls of humanity continue to live after death. This place is comparable to heaven. Hell is an eternal place of endless agony for those who do not believe in God. Those who are incarcerated in hell seem to be able to see at least some portions of heaven and remember what happened on earth. The Bible tells us that when a believer dies, their body goes to the grave, but their soul goes to be with Christ in heaven. They will be thrown into the lake of fire, a place of eternal punishment. Revelation 20 speaks in detail about the final state of Satan and the unbelievers. Verse 7 notes that at the end of the thousand-year millennium kingdom, Satan will be released for one final battle along with the deceived nations of the world. After his defeat, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Revelation 20:10. Then all unbelievers will be judged before the great white throne. Revelation 20:15 states, anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. The next chapter, Revelation 21:8, adds, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Yes, hell exists. According to the Bible, the reality of hell is described using the same terminology that describes the reality of heaven. In fact, Jesus spent more time warning people about the dangers of hell than assuring them of the possibility of heaven. In short, the Bible tells us what it is like to be in hell. The Bible makes it clear that hell is real, eternal, and must be avoided at all costs. The prince of the power of the air. In Ephesians 2:2, the devil is designated as the prince of the power of the air. Prince speaks of the exalted position of his rule. Air speaks of the sphere of his rule, which is probably the area above and around the earth. Since Satan is a spirit, he can move through space with incredible speed, just like other spirits. He is also a deceiver as the angel of light. In 2 Corinthians 11:14, the devil is called an angel of light. This has to do with his deception of humanity. For example, he appeared to Eve in the Garden of Eden as a very lovely and wonderful creature. It was not until after Eve sinned and fell from God's grace that she discovered, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate," Genesis 3:13. The prince of this world. In John 12:31, 14:30, and 16:1, Satan is described as the prince of this world. This means the unregenerate world, the world that has fallen from grace, the world that follows him to perdition. The prince of darkness. In Ephesians 6:12, Satan is described as the prince of darkness. This reveals his dark nature, his complete disregard for light and holiness. All his works are dark, for he is indeed the prince of all darkness. the God of this world. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, he is called the God of this world. This means that men and women worship him in pagan countries. People worship a spirit they do not know. We know it is Satan, for he is the God of pagan peoples. It is significant that the designation of prince is a name in the Bible given to deity, such as Jehovah in Daniel 8:1. Prince is a designation given to Christ in Isaiah 9:6, Acts 3:15, and Revelation 1:5. It is a name given to the chief priests of the temple in Isaiah 43:28. Prince is a name given to nobles and kings in Isaiah 10:8 and Numbers 17:6. This reveals the strength, power, and position that the devil possesses through having been an archangel in heaven. God solemnly warns us in 1 Corinthians 10:20 about worshiping demons. No, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God, and I do not want you to be participants with demons. God refuses to allow his followers to have fellowship with the devil or any of his demons or works. The warning is for all soldiers of Jesus Christ. There is a terrible truth written by Paul to young Timothy, his son in the faith, found in 2 Timothy 2:26, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. There is a strong sense of caution here. Paul refers to the devil's trap. As you know, a trap is a snare, a device set for an animal. The animal thinks it is finding food to eat, and upon entering the trap or snare, it is captured. It is in this way that the devil deceives the whole world, pagans, and even Christians. He deceives them, making them believe they will have pleasure, but they do not. He deceives them, making them believe that if they follow him, everything will be fine, but it is not. The scripture further says that he captures them to do his will. This is a terrible statement, that the devil purposefully and deliberately sets traps to capture human beings. Who is capable of delivering humanity from the power of the devil? How is it possible for an entire nation to fall under the devil's domination and give itself to demon worship, becoming a country infested with the devil? Later, I will show how Satan can take a city, how a city becomes a habitation of demons. I will give illustrations of ancient and modern cities that have given themselves to satanic worship. The Bible gives us a clear picture of who Satan is and how he affects our lives. Simply put, the Bible defines Satan as an angelic being who fell from his position in heaven due to sin and is now completely opposed to God, doing everything he can to thwart God's purposes. Satan used to be a holy angel. In Isaiah 14:12, he is possibly referred to as Lucifer before he fell. According to Ezekiel 28:12-14, Satan was created as a cherub, which seems to be the highest rank among angels. But he became arrogant because of his beauty and status and wanted to be higher than God himself. His pride led him to rebel. Although everything created by God was initially good, Satan rebelled against the Lord, leading many other angels into rebellion. When we read Isaiah 14:12-15, we see many "I will ascend" statements showing his rebellion. Because of his sin, God expelled Satan from his high position forever. "How you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, 'I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High.' But you are brought down to the realm of the dead, to the depths of the pit." Isaiah 14:12 15. Satan took control as ruler of this world and became known as the prince of the power of the air, being represented as a serpent and a dragon in the scriptures. Satan is the originator of lies. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say, 'You must not eat from any tree in the garden'?" Genesis 3:1. He promotes false teachings and seeks to keep unbelievers in spiritual bondage. "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. John 8:44. He is also called the accuser, the tempter, and the deceiver. His very name means adversary, or one who opposes, and another title, devil, means slanderer. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you, and that our labors might have been in vain. 1 Thessalonians 3:5. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him, to keep him from deceiving the nations any more until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. Revelation 20:3. Satan is not omnipresent, but he oversees a horde of demons called rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. He uses this network to tempt and deceive people. He actively works to nullify the effect of God's word in people's hearts and blinds the minds of those who do not believe, so they cannot understand the gospel. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up." Matthew 13, 3-4. The Bible advises Christians to be aware of Satan's schemes. Believers must resist him with vigilance and determination, recognizing his attempts to tempt them and make them unproductive for the Lord. When facing temptation, believers should submit to the Lord and resist the devil, and Satan will flee. Besides tempting, Satan is also known as the accuser of our brothers. "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, 'Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down.'" Revelation 12:10. Satan is referred to as the god of this age, 2 Corinthians 4:4, and holds sway over the world and its systems. "Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out." John 12:31. However, his authority is temporary. During the tribulation period, Satan will deceive many and empower the rise of the Antichrist, who will rule for 7 years. Since Satan has always desired to be worshipped as God, this deception will involve the worship of Satan by many. The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies, and to exercise its authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to blaspheme God, and to slander his name and his dwelling place, and those who live in heaven. It was given power to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them, and it was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. Revelation 13, 5-8. Satan was called the anointed cherub and adorned with every precious stone. He was described as the epitome of perfection, wisdom, and beauty, making him the highest among the angels. He was so persuasive that he convinced 1/3 of the angels to rebel with him. Its tail swept 1/3 of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. Revelation 12:4. Even after his rebellion, not even the archangel Michael confronted him without the help of the Lord. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not himself dare to condemn him for slander, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Jude 1:9. Satan's fall was due to his pride. He did not want to be second best, but desired to be God himself. "You said in your heart, 'I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon.'" Isaiah 14:13. One thing is certain. Despite his high position and close relationship with God, Satan chose to rebel, and as a result is destined for eternal punishment. And they were calling to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. Isaiah 6:3. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Revelation 4:8. The final importance of Satan is perhaps indicated in the fact that it is not the Father who deals with him, nor Christ, but only an unnamed angel. However, when we read about an angel descending from heaven, it is important to note that Satan is not considered equal or opposite to God. Still, God allows Satan to continue because even in his evil, he indirectly serves God's purposes. God instructs us to remain alert and attentive. The devil wants us to fall as he fell, but we can hold our ground. Not only has the Lord Jesus Christ saved us, but He is also the only one who can keep us from falling. Let us pray. Gracious and loving Creator, I come before You today with a humble heart, recognizing the importance of acknowledging our weaknesses and seeking Your guidance to overcome them. As we gather as a community, help us to be open to Your words and Your wisdom. Lord, pride is a cunning adversary, infiltrating our thoughts and actions, whispering lies of self-sufficiency and superiority. It blinds us to our own flaws, making it difficult to see the beauty in others and appreciate the blessings You have given us. In our pride, we often forget that every good gift comes from You, and foolishly believe that we have achieved success solely by our own efforts. Forgive us, dear Lord, for the times we have allowed pride to obscure Your grace and mercy in our lives. Help us to recognize that true greatness lies not in exalting ourselves, but in serving You and helping others with humility and compassion. Teach us to follow the example of Your Son, Jesus Christ, who humbled Himself to the point of death on the cross, showing us the way to true humility and selflessness. Grant us the strength to resist the temptations of pride, turning away from arrogance and vanity and embracing the virtue of humility. Help us to see ourselves as You see us, as beloved children in need of Your grace and guidance. May we find joy in lifting others up rather than seeking to elevate ourselves above them. Lord, we pray for those among us who struggle with pride in a particularly deep way, for those who are quick to boast of their achievements, who look down on others with disdain, who seek validation and praise at any cost. Soften their hearts, dear God, and open their eyes to the damage that pride is causing in their lives and the lives of those around them. Help us to cultivate a spirit of gratitude, recognizing the gifts and talents You have given us and using them to glorify Your name. May our actions be a reflection of Your love and grace, shining through us. Lord, we also lift up those who have been hurt by the pride of others, for those who have been looked down upon and treated unjustly. Grant them healing and strength. Help us to be agents of reconciliation and peace, standing against injustice and upholding the dignity and worth of every human being. Finally, Lord, we ask for Your guidance and protection as we strive to live lives of humility and grace. Give us the wisdom to recognize the subtle ways in which pride can infiltrate our hearts and minds, and the courage to confront it head on. Fill us with Your Holy Spirit, so that we may be empowered to live lives that please You, lives marked by humility, kindness, and love. In Your holy name we pray. Amen.